Well, Lord, we bless you and we honor you in this place, oh God. We've come tonight, Father God, not to do anything but to be in your presence and to hear from you. Mighty Holy Ghost, we ask that you would speak to us, through us. Open our eyes that we might see, our ears that we might hear, our hearts that we might understand. Lead us and guide us into all truth, even show us things to come. Father, we bless you and we magnify you tonight. We give you glory. Jesus, you are our Savior and our Lord. We declare you are risen from the dead. And you are Lord and King of kings and Lord of lords. We give you praise and honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Father, in all things, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, you may be seated. Thanks to our worship team tonight. Awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, well, go ahead if you want to. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Don't forget to be praying for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the Crusade team as they are out this week in Glenwood Springs, Colorado through Tuesday night, then Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Wednesday night through Friday night, and then back home. So continue to pray for them, and we just thank God for all the great things that God is doing through those meetings and in those churches. Amen. You know, a lot of times it's a great big encouragement to the pastors and the congregations that to have Pastor and Mrs. Hagen there with the team, and so we want to just pray and believe God with them. Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, open it up to Mark chapter 6. I was actually, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I was actually with my family on vacation here a week or so ago, and I'm driving along, and everybody else was, you know, doing what you do when you travel, sleeping for the most part. And as I'm driving along, I had the Lord start talking to me about honor, about the subject of honor once again, and I've had several sermons actually that I've preached on that. God has, I know one of the sermon, one of the at the school at Ramah Bible College. If you at one of the orientation services, I've preached on how to make the honor roll at Ramah, and you know, it's not about what you think it is, but honor is a very, very important aspect. What we honor, we will receive from. What we honor, we will receive from. And what we honor of God, from God's word, we will experience. And what we honor by proclaiming, we will see the manifestation of. That's what the Spirit of the Lord talked to me about. Honor. And so let's talk for just a moment about the subject of honor. Here tonight. You know, every time we approach the Word of God, how many of you know it's great to have the mighty Holy Ghost to help us? Amen. You know, Paul prayed that we would get a, that God would give to us a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, I'm sorry, in the knowledge of Him. Wisdom and revelation. Do you realize all faith is based on the revealed Word of God? Brother Hagin used to say, what? Faith begins where the will of God is known. How many of you have heard that statement before? All right? Well, how does that come? It comes by revelation. And so Paul prayed that we would have revelation. So tonight, let's pray, let's believe God for revelation and understanding and wisdom concerning this subject. All right? To honor, just to give what Strong's Concordance says about it, means it means something that's valuable or precious, something that is weighty, carries some weight to it. It also means something that is that you would esteem and that you would appreciate and respect. To honor also means to receive. That's interesting that that word means to receive also. Whatever you honor appreciates in value or gains in value. Now, on the opposite side of that, whatever you dishonor or don't show respect to or lightly esteem will lose value. It depreciates. That makes sense to you? It gets less and less in value. Whatever we value in life, and that's what we're talking about. That's how we're coming about honor tonight. Whatever we give value to, whatever we esteem, whatever we show respect to, we will be able to receive from. I always, you know, it always amazes me, always has. It's always has been a kind of a, I don't know, if I use the word conundrum, do you know what that means? If you don't, I'm going to use the word. It's just always kind of been a conundrum to me. It's a mystery, I guess, to me. When I hear people say, well, I just don't receive anything from that preacher. No, what you are saying is you don't honor them. Because whatever you honor, you will receive from. I heard, Brother Dr. Price went home to be with the Lord here in January. Dr. Fred Price out in California, there, Crenshaw Christian Center. And I heard him talking one time about weeks before Brother Hagin would come out there to hold a meeting, he'd start teaching his church and congregation on how to draw from the anointing of the prophet. And Brother Hagin would, I heard he would, he'd talk about how he would flow in that ministry, the prophet's ministry there, much easier than he would if in other places. Because see, what you honor, you're going to give value to, and whatever you value, you're going to give your attention to that. Amen. You know, sometimes financial advisors say, "Well, we can tell what you value. Let's look at your expenses." Right? What are you spending your money? Where's it going? Whatever you have a passion for, usually. You know, there's been times in my life that I had a big passion to play golf. I've kind of lost that passion. Brother David Beebe said, I'm golf slidden. I don't think I've played a round of golf in been over 2 years in that now. I was out in the garage just this week getting looking, and I got lots of equipment, lots of golf balls, lots of stuff, but it just hasn't been something that has been as important to me. And I still love watching. I love watching golf on TV. You say, well, why do you like to watch golf? Well, if you played at a certain level, you kind of like it. But then it's also great to sleep to. Amen? You can get a good nap. Crank that lazy boy, that recliner up, turn on the golf, and amen. I'm that way with NFL football. I don't think I've watched an NFL football game through. I sleep to it real well, though. And you know how it is? You know how it is when it's on? If someone changes the channel or turns the TV off, hey, I'm watching that. Hey, man. But what do we give value? It's interesting. From the other side to dishonor, one definition said to treat something as common or as ordinary. To treat it as common or as ordinary. Now, one of the things that happens, you know, what you become familiar with becomes more common to you. You know, really, one of the greatest things that we should honor, but we don't every day, is oxygen. All right? Because we just do it, it's something common, we just breathe. But you know, if you can't breathe, it becomes very valuable to you. Okay? So whatever, to treat it as ordinary or common. Now we're going somewhere here, all right? To disrespect. Now most of us are smart enough, we won't openly disrespect God and His Word or the things of God, but we do it subtly. One of the ways the Bible says to honor God is to put Him first. Amen. Do you realize we can disrespect the Word of God by putting other things ahead of it? You know, I've heard here in our day, we ought, I mean, just pay attention out there. You hear people, I know the Bible says that, but I feel like this, or they're putting their feelings and their thoughts ahead of what God's word says about it. And they interpret God's word based on feelings, and we've probably all done that, right? But interpreting God's word based on how I feel, not applying God's word to change my feelings. You know, there's a statement that Paul made, said, let God be true and every man a liar. Well, every man includes Tad. And so, you know, I like to think of it this way, Tad, you know, just talk to myself. I know you probably don't talk to yourself, but you need to have those discussions with me, myself, and I every once in a while. Get a hold of me, myself, and I's ear and say, now listen here. But if I see something in the Word, then I have to say, Tad, I don't care what you think about it. I don't care what you believe about it. That's true, and the other is a lie. If I'm going to maintain my honor for God's Word. Now let's look here at something that happened in Mark chapter 6. Kind of give you a picture into this. Verse 1, I'm going to read this from the King James, but it'll probably take the these and thous out. Mark 6, verse 1. And he went from there and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing were astonished, saying, from whence or from where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are worked or wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, that statement in verse 3 about isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, they didn't see Jesus as anything other than a common man who grew up there. He was ordinary. There was no reason to show him respect in their eyes. But Jesus said to them, verse 4, a prophet is not without honor. In other words, everywhere else a prophet's honored, but in his own country, what's he saying? He doesn't receive honor. And among his own kin and his own house. You know, you think about things such, for instance, like a military. Let's say you had a military family. Well, you know, you might have different people, different ages are in the military in that family, and all of them, because of their age and their experience, you know, they might all be lifetime, but they're at different stages, have different ranks, you know. The head of the family might be a general. You might have different ranks. You might have a colonel, might have a sergeant, might, you know, lieutenant, private in there. But, you know, at the family table, the private doesn't get less than the master sergeant because he's not ranked as high. He's a member of the family. All right? He's a member of the family. And so it's tough sometimes to get nobody, you know, he might call his father sir, but he's not doing it because he's not saluting. Amen? But what I'm saying here, Jesus is here in his own hometown, and they're treating him as common and as ordinary. All right? Now, what's the result of that? Let's look at that result. Verse number 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Now, they talked about the mighty works. They said, what wisdom? How is he doing this? That even all these mighty works are done by his hands. And there, he could not do those mighty works. Because they didn't honor him. He could there do no mighty work. Didn't say he didn't want to. Said he could there do no mighty work. Now he was able. He laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. That's a great thing. Praise the Lord. But he could there do no mighty work. Because they didn't honor him. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now let me say this. Faith. Being fully persuaded, believing what God said, is honoring God. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, which is the same word as honor in many places in the Bible, giving glory to God, accounting that God was able to do what he had promised. What's he doing? Abraham honored God. He said, God's able to do it. Even to the place that after the boy was, after Isaac was born and grown up, he took him on the mountaintop. He was gonna sacrifice him because God asked him to. And in the New Testament Hebrews, it says accounting that God was able to raise him up. But if God said it, I'm going to honor God. Honoring God, honoring his word, acting on his word, believing his word, saying his word. See, you may not feel like the righteousness of God every day, but nobody asked you how you felt. The Bible says that we have been made the righteousness of God in him. So if you're born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You may not feel like a new creation, but if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Well, let me say this. You may not feel healed, but in Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So what are we going to honor in that area? See, what we honor, we will experience from God. Now, it's interesting here. Let's not stop here. Let's keep reading. And he called... Well, it's interesting there. He marveled their unbelief and he went about the villages teaching. Why? The cure for unbelief is to teach the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word. All right? And he called unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save staff only, nor scrip, nor bread, nor money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said, now look at this, in whatever place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, that's the same thing as saying will not honor you, not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know, going back to the folks, you know, that say, well, I just don't receive anything. I don't receive anything from that pastor. I'm just not getting anything out of it. I'm gonna ask you, what are you honoring? What are your words, first of all? What are you doing with your thoughts? I've been at this here. See, June 30th will be my 41st birthday in Christ. Amen. And so I've been, you know, at this for 41 years now. And that's not long when you compare that to Pastor Hagin, you know. He's been at it 82 years. You know, I've been at it half the time he has. Like he said, he was born one Sunday, he's in church the next. All right? But it never has ever really dawned on me to decide where I want to go to church. Even before I was on church, I prayed about it. When I got saved, I was in a denominational church, and I stayed there for a while because I prayed. God said, no, you stay here for a while. There's things that I'm going to do. So I stayed there for a while, and then God said, no, okay, I'm going to release you. Now, well, here's what I want you. I want you to go over to this church over here. And then that church moved, and then they said, he said, no, now I want you to go to this other church, and that's the church I came to Rhema from. I'm not trying out churches. I'm just listening to God. I think I've told you before that, at places and people show up to churches and they say, you know, God sent us here. God sent us here. And 3 weeks later, God sent them somewhere else, I guess. I don't know. You know, but usually folks that have come up to that, you know, you understand that, especially in a smaller church setting, you get people that, they don't want to, God didn't send them there. They came there looking for a pulpit. Not to take home, a place to preach from. All right, they want, and if you don't let them preach, then they're going somewhere else. And we had a rash of this one church, and Pastor and I, we were joking one day. This wasn't here now. But we were joking one day, and I said, you know, sometimes I just, next time someone says, you know, God sent us here, I just want to punch them right in the nose. Because if God sent them here, no matter what I do, they're not going to leave just because I do something to them. Now, I never did that. And we were joking when I said it. But you understand the sentiment of what I'm talking about there. Amen. Now, I'm going to get in your business right here, okay? Now, how many of you know there's no condemnation in Christ? There's no condemnation in Christ. But some Christians, bless their heart, they struggle in marriage because they don't honor their spouse and they don't honor the words that they said and the vows that they made. See, I knew you wouldn't shout about that, so that's why I kind of... Now, again, you remember I talked about where you... If you want to check up on what you honor, check up on your words. Yes. Yes. Amen. Whatever you honor, you speak well about. In fact, it carries with it the idea to honor someone. How many of you... Today, you know... We even hardly don't even call it funeral service anymore, do we? It's a memorial service. What do? We talk good about the people, right? We talk, you know, and of course, you know, everybody around here, we can talk good about you because you're good people. I've done funerals where I didn't know anybody there. This, you know, the funeral home would call and they'd say, hey, because I don't know why, they always called us. Can one of you come? They want a pastor. Well, do they go to church? No. But they want a pastor to do their service. This was the county, you know, coroner. And he had a funeral home, two funeral homes there in that little town. And so sometimes we would do them. And you just go in there and preach a salvation message. I don't know anything to say about the people. In fact, they don't want to meet with you ahead of time. Just come perform the service. And then go to the gravesite and do it. Well, you know, but to eulogize means to say, to speak good about. To honor them, to speak good about. What are you speaking about your marriage, about your spouse? Not for me to hear, but when you're by yourself. What thoughts are you letting run through your mind? There's not one married person in here, or anybody said, that every day they wake up, they feel like being married today. Doesn't happen. You can't, have, you know, you can't go by your feelings. But you know as well as I do, people all the time, Christians, word of faith people, word people, follow their feelings sometimes more than they do the word of God. Now, you know, if I could jump, they won't let me jump yet, but if I could jump, I'd jump so I'd get all four, you know, two hands and 2 feet off the ground. But check up on ourselves in that way. This isn't really coming out the way I thought it would, but hey, it's all right. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Glory to God. I know what pastor says sometimes. He says, I don't know if I'm preaching, teaching, or talking tonight. Amen. But you know, seriously, about this idea of you know, in church especially church this size, we got people at all levels of spiritual growth. Some folks, you know, just now started coming to church. They're just in the things of God, haven't even been in a year, you know, and I'm talking about 41 years, you know, and you think, you know, everybody's not, and just because, you know, 41, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter, 41 years or 4 days and one hour doesn't determine spiritual maturity. But we got levels that, but you know, there comes a time that we just got to grow up. Now, I know some of you have been wanting to do this for a long time, so here's your opportunity. Look at the person next to you and tell them, grow up. I'm looking at that's two of those last two rows right there. I'm just looking. Now, George, I'll leave you out of this, but you look at him. They're having too much fun with this. Chance, did you tell Miranda, the girl? No. Oh. He knows better. Anyway. But some, you know, it's when someone preaches a sermon in a church, a pastor has to prepare a meal that everybody can get something from. And you say, well, you know, I'm further along than the messages that I've been hearing. Good, then you don't need any messages. You come to add your supply. Yeah, you're out there, what? You've been prayed. You prayed ahead of time. You came to church ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for using Pastor today. Thank you, Father God, for speaking a word that people can hear, that the lost will get saved, that the oppressed will get set free. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like those songs we sing. First of all, we're not singing him for you. We're singing him to the Lord, you know. But honor. Honor. What are you honoring? Did you find Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I want you to see there's a spiritual principle here of to honor the Lord, not just with your substance, not necessarily talking about finances tonight, but the principle works. But it's a spiritual principle that honor carries with the idea of first. First fruit meant first and best. If you go back and study it. Am I giving the first and best of my time to God and his word? Am I giving, you know, is this first place in my thinking? Now go to Proverbs 4, because God said, you know, about his word, how to honor his word. While you're looking at that, a good friend, Pastor Tony Finley up in Omaha, Nebraska, he gave this definition of honor. He said, honor is a decision to place high value, high importance, and high worth upon another. This is as it deals with people, by viewing them as a priceless gift, then granting them a place of importance and respect in your life. Honor is a decision. A decision. So that tells me this, you're not just going to automatically honor things just because you're a Christian. I have to make a decision to place high value, high importance, and high worth. Now when it comes to dealing with people, upon that person. And value and esteem that person. And show them respect. Well, how about with God's word? Look what he says in Proverbs 4:20. My son, my child, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Let them not depart. What? Them what? Words. Depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They, those words, God's word, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Attend to. Attend to. Incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If we want to partake of the life of God, we have to honor God's word of life. Amen. And so no matter what the situation is, that's why you hear Pastor talk about it. You hear him talk about what his dad, those of you that were blessed to be able to sit in the ministry, if you've read the books of Brother Hagin, he would say, what does the word say about it? What's he doing? He's honoring God's word. Because it doesn't matter my opinion. What does God's word say about this? Now, you understand, we can't expect the world to honor God's word. But we should expect Christians to be able to honor God's word. And it amazes me. It's kind of alarming to watch the dishonor that so-called faith people show God's word. And just will speak about things. And I'm thinking, but the word says this about that. In two or three places, not just one. I'm not trying to isolate it, but I've got several scriptures that say this, and they disregard that because they feel or think a different way. Amen. But I have to, how do I honor them? I pray for them. Father, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Let the eyes, and I call their name, be of their understanding, be enlightened that they might know. Right? Maybe they don't have the revelation concerning it. Maybe that's why. So I'm going to respect them. I'm going to pray for them. Okay? But checking up on ourselves, are we putting God's word first? I know over the years in helping people, trying to help people receive divine healing and health that comes from God, one of the things that hinders some people is knowing so much about their condition that it takes the forefront of their thinking. I know with Christians that are in the thank God for doctors and everybody that they're trying to help people feel better. Thank God. Amen. If you need to go to the doctor, go. No condemnation whatsoever. Go. All right. But I found it in dealing with people, if they know, you know, if they can pronounce the technical name for what's happening, they know that more and they show more respect to that than they do what the word says about it. Because God's word will wipe all of that out in a moment. In a moment. That's a miracle. However, the consistent application of the truth of God's word will change whatever facts are happening right now if you consistently apply it. Consistently live by faith. Okay? Showing honor, glory to God. Look over in, let's look at one more. Matthew chapter 10, we'll end with this one. There's so much, you know, we can say about. In fact, how many of you Raymond students know, if you've graduated here recently or say, we know we have a whole class on life of honor in our second year program. And praise the Lord. It's the same term as ministerial ethics, same group of students, so it's kind of like, ooh. Maybe we should have submission and authority right then too. Make that a full day. But that's part of honor. How do I honor? I would submit. We're told to submit one to another. You know, most people that hear the word submit, you know, most folks that know just enough Bible to be dangerous, especially guys, men who are married. Well, wives have to submit to their husbands. That's what we need to do. Us husbands need to get our wives in submission. You try. First of all, that's not written to you husbands. That's written to the wife. Husbands, you're too busy trying to love her as Christ loves the church. Right, you concentrate on that. You won't have time to make sure your wife submits. Maybe you'll be more attractive to submit to. I'm hoping the clock will run out. I won't have to, you know, I won't go any further than that. But I do want to read this verse, Matthew 10. Look at verse 40 through 42. Matthew 10, verse 40 through 42. He who receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say, he shall in no wise lose his reward. To receive what you honor, you will receive from. And notice what happens. Notice the reward that follows honor. Now that's not my motivation, but I just wanted to throw that out there to you. When you honor God's word, you're going to receive from God's word. When you honor God's men and women who he's placed and put within a gift to them to speak forth the words of God, when you honor them, you're going to receive from the anointing that God's blessed them with. Because that anointing didn't come for them, it came for you. But you're not going to receive from that anointing if you don't honor it. Amen. That's why I think we can receive from anybody. We can receive from him. We don't have to agree with him 100%. There's nobody on the face of the earth that agrees with my doctrine 100%. Not even the Lord Jesus himself agrees with all my doctrine. Because I just know in part. I see in part. I prophesy or preach in part. I only know part. So I can't make my part the whole. If I make my part the whole, then we're all in trouble because my part's small. I'm going to tell you right now. Glory to God. The longer I'm in this, the less I think I realize I know about God. Amen. Every time I think I got God figured out, he just goes, I never saw that before, God. I had him tell me one time, there's a lot you haven't seen yet, son. Amen. Let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Honor him tonight. Hallelujah. Maybe you just need to rededicate, consecrate yourself after a sermon like this and say, Lord, I am committed to honor you. What your word says is true no matter what. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for your word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity tonight. You don't want to leave here. Don't leave this place without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you know, you're here tonight and you know you haven't been walking with the Lord. I'm not necessarily talking about you want to make some corrections of what you're honoring. I'm talking about you've really been away from God in your relationship with God. But tonight you'd like to say, I want to reestablish that before God and before anybody else that cares to see it. I'm going to establish the fact that I'm a child of God. Amen. Or you might be here tonight and you might want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Around here, we believe in what the Bible says in the book of Acts, that when they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You might be here tonight and you want to receive that. On any of those things, if you're in here tonight and you want prayer for that, I want you to raise your hand. If you want prayer for any of those things, you want to be born again, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You want to come back to the Lord, or you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just raise your hand. I saw one hand here. Anybody else want to come? Anybody else want to come? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to pray for you. As soon as I get done praying for you, I want you to come right there. This is Tracy. You see Tracy right there? I'm going to pray for you. But then right after that, come and talk to Tracy and whatever it is. Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this man. Father, I thank you for his boldness to raise his hand. Whatever his spiritual need is tonight, I thank you for meeting it. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. As he honors you tonight, you honor him and bless him with everything he has need of. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.